Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Clue you in. From the renterswarehouse.com studios, this is ESPN 97.5 KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gow Media station.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. Second hour presented by the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, are going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for their support of soccer on the radio. 713-322-HURT is the number. They are bilingual. You get in an accident, you want the Daspit Law Firm working for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Get that representation you need. Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Thank you, John Daspit. Also, all special edition Bud Light Texas packaging is brewed in Texas by Texans. No wonder Bud Light is the number one light lager in the state. Enjoy responsibly. AB Bud Light Beer, Houston, Texas. Coming on now to talk some Houston Dynamo is Eddie Robinson, partner on the Cube with me. And we've got one more game to go, Eddie. It's amazing how quick 2018 is gone.
It has been.
It's crazy.
It seems like we've both been spread pretty thin. You doing ESPN yesterday, you and me helping out with the Dash. And it, like you said, it's gone by extremely fast.
Yeah, it certainly has. Well, look, you called the game yesterday. Matt Peterson filled in for me and did a wonderful job. Give us your thoughts on yesterday's game, 3-2 Seattle here in Houston. It was the last home game of the year. The Sounders winning. They're on their way for the 10th straight season to the playoffs.
It was okay. The performance was okay. You know, the Seattle Sounders team is one of the best defensive teams in the league, bar none. They don't give up a lot of goals. And when the Dynamo went down two, you think to yourself, well, Seattle's only given up two goals or more 6 times in the entire season, so it's probably over. The Dynamo created a lot of chances, but they never really tested Stephen Fry. Then all of a sudden, Kevin Garcia gets the goal, and you think, well, maybe, hold on a second. Let's see what happens. The Dynamo are getting some possession, but again, it's just can't really challenge Stephen Fry. And then that third goal comes from Seattle. I mean, Seattle's a team that's peaking at the right time. And for the Dynamo, the late concession from Marvin Notis adding to his record tally for this year was fantastic. So it was entertaining, I think, for everyone, but it was a disappointing result. And the old set piece came back to bite the Dynamo right in the butt as it did the prior game against LAFC. Walker Zimmerman with a goal on a corner. Diego Rossi wide open on 2 different set pieces. 2 set piece goals against Seattle. Something the Dynamo, I guess, I mean, you got to sort out, but there's one game left in the season. So I guess you got to start looking forward to the postseason, even though there is still a game next weekend that is very meaningful for the Los Angeles Galaxy and very meaningful for Real Salt Lake. So the Dynamo, they can still have a little bit of fun and play spoilers.
They could be the big spoilers next weekend. There's no question about that. Look, it's been a tough year. I don't think there's any question. We have to be honest when we talk real Dynamo talk here. But there are 2 incredible storylines this year. One is the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup win. That was a big piece. The other is Marvin Notis, clearly the team MVP to me, clearly a guy that has grown in front of our eyes. These are 2 great storylines for the year when we're looking for the real positives Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup win and Mauro Manotas.
Yeah, I mean, the U.S. Open Cup is extremely prestigious, the oldest tournament in the country in any sport, as far as I know. I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but something that the Dynamo have never won. This is the first time the Dynamo have donated all their resources, every single game, to win in this tournament, and it paid off, and I'm happy for that. Mauro Manotas, as excited as I am to see him score as many goals as he has, it has sparked a lot of interest. I recently heard from a lot of different places in Europe. So the question is, if a $4 to $5 million offer, which I think is probably in the, a reasonable range, comes in for Mauro Manotas, can the Dynamo possibly turn that down? I don't think they can. And if they don't, how do they fill that role next season?
Yeah, I think these are real big questions going into next year, and it's great that you brought that up because it was interesting. Brad Guzan down in Atlanta, said basically, look, all this talk about, you know, Miguel Almiron moving to Europe and Tata Martino to Mexico potentially, and the fact that they've signed a guy, Pity Martinez from River Plate for $17.2 million, this all comes with being a big club. So this is a feather in the cap of the Houston Dynamo that people want their players. Now, it's no question that the guys up front are drawing a lot of attention. But this is part and parcel of being a club that matures and grows. And Carlos Bocanegra said to me, he goes, look, you know, Tata Martino, we didn't expect him to be here forever. He's just too valuable and too good of a manager from a global perspective.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And that's the thing is that separates, I think, the best teams in Major League Soccer. I mean, it can be argued that owners that want to spend money, they have the best teams. But, man, management and ego management and player management and health management and all of these things come into play. And how do you replace certain players? Right, Atlanta's gone out and they've pretty much done it. Word is that Pity Martinez is signed, that Miguel Almiron is gone, that Tata Martino is gone, that Guillermo Rivera Scalotto is incoming. They've got their bases covered. There's nothing. What's on the back burner for the Dynamo? Because what they have right now, they don't have anything that can replace Mauro Manotas. They're going to have to go out and do something. Are they waiting to see what they get for him and see how much of those funds they can put towards buying someone else? I don't think he can do that, because I think that when you look at Major League Soccer and all of the talent that's come from Central and South America for very, very low transfer fees when you compare it to the world market, players that are coming in at very young ages and being very good and commanding transfer fees to move on out of Major League Soccer, whoever the Dynamo have their eye on, I guarantee somebody else got their eye on them too.
Yeah, and it's
a move needs to be made. Because even if Mauro Manotas stays, Wilmer Cabrera has made this statement multiple times that you have to have multiple squads. You have to have real depth at every position if you want to compete, not just in the league and defend your U.S. Open Cup trophy, but also now CONCACAF. So even if Mauro Manotas stays, you still need somebody else that can step in up front and be a solid number nine that's going to score goals.
Oh, there's no question. And look, if you lose an Albert Elias in Kyoto with the wide game, then you got to reassess, okay, well, you know, how are we going to play in the future? Are we going to try for like replacements? Or what is our plan B when it comes to playing style? Will the playing style remain the same? And a lot of that depends on the type of players you can acquire. And look, the Dynamo were in the CONCACAF Champions League, just like Atlanta United. The Dynamo are going to have more fixtures, more games. They certainly have to improve defensively. I don't think there's any question. And I don't think that's just a back four. I think that's midfield and a back four. I think a lot has to be done, and it's going to have to be done in a short amount of time because time waits for no one. And the end of February, you're in the CONCACAF Champions League.
Where they have to establish an identity. Like you just said, what's their identity? Because if you look at away to Seattle and away to LAFC when they didn't have Kyoto and they didn't have Elise, what was their offensive strategy? There really didn't seem to be one. So before you can go and find players that fit the system, what is the system if those guys aren't there? I think that needs to come first.
Yeah. What is plan B behind, you know, a winger oriented system? Because when you put a Memo Rodriguez or you put a Ronaldo Pena out there, they are very differing players. They're not necessarily vertical players. They're very differing. And look, we saw that with Atlanta United on this weekend. When there's no Tito Villalba and there's no Miguel Almiron, it's a very different team. It's a team that built the game up more, was a bit more patient, and allowed Chris McCann, an Irishman, to join in the attack and get good delivery in. You know, he has a hard time keeping up with Miguel Almiron and those guys, Tito Villalba, when they're on the field. So there are plan A's and plan B's. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a very interesting offseason for the Dynamo and many, many teams in Major League Soccer. I don't think there's any question. Next weekend, this coming weekend, it's MLS Decision Day. So you already mentioned how the Dynamo can be spoilers against the LA Galaxy. Let's not forget Atlanta United and the New York Red Bulls are fighting for the Supporters' Shield. Where does the Supporters' Shield fit into it to you? Because for me, I understand it's a league based on playoffs, but that to me has always been very, very important just simply because of it just tells you what the overall body of work was with consistency.
Yeah, and that's why the rest of the top leagues around the world don't have playoffs. They want to crown a champion as the group of players and staff and fans that did the best throughout 34 games, throughout 38 games, however many games the season lasts. The team that was most consistent, the team that was able to overcome adversity the most times, the team that was able to overcome the bad bounces, the missed calls throughout an entire season. I think that the problem in Major League Soccer is that the league and the media and the fans put all of the emphasis, I would say probably 85 to 90% of the emphasis, on winning MLS Cup. They don't give as much attention to the Supporters' Shield, whereas the Supporters' Shield, I think, is a much, much more difficult title to win, because you get a couple of good, lucky bounces in the playoffs, and all of a sudden, you're winning MLS Cup. I mean, ask Real Salt Lake from, 10 years ago. They went into the MLS playoffs with a losing record and ended up coming out champion.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen anywhere else in the world. So I think it depends on, I guess, your priorities. But the way the media, the way the league, the way everybody places the priority on MLS Cup, that's obviously, they're the champion. They're the winners. But for me, I always applaud, always have a lot of respect for the team that was able to do it over the entirety of the season.
Eddie, as always, thank you very much. You and I'll have the final game of the season for the Houston Dynamo, where they can play spoilers this weekend. We will be doing the Dynamo at LA Galaxy. And, of course, there's a lot of implications in that one. Let's hope the Dynamo go out there and spoil it for the Galaxy and Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Eddie, thank you as always for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me, Glenn. I'll see you today.
All right. We always appreciate it. The great insight of Eddie Robinson. We thank him for coming on the show. Hey, by the way, all special edition Bud Light Texas packaging brewed right here in Texas, which means it's brewed to go perfect with barbecue, like East Texas barbecue, Central Texas barbecue, South Texas, and West Texas barbecues. Basically, all barbecue. Enjoy responsibly. AB Bud Light Beer, Houston, Texas. We'll take a break. More to come. It's a Bud Light break.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
ESPN 97.5. Hey, a quick word for my friends down at Advantage BMW Midtown. I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've owned. Advantage BMW in Midtown is the place to go. The drive of a BMW, what more do I have to say? It's the ultimate driving machine. Drive a 5 Series, I love it. The other thing I love is the customer service at BMW. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown, they've got you covered. Sales, service, finance, it can be done so easy. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Go in, say hello to Philip, Justin, and Sergio. They love soccer. Great friend now joining the show here. You know him from Major League Soccer as a goalkeeper, also played in the Argentine First Division. He's currently the assistant coach of Atlanta United in Major League Soccer. Before I bring him on, I'm just going to tell you a quick little story here. When we had our pediatric cancer clinics going on, oh, this might have been 5-6 years ago, Dario Sala, who was then with FC Dallas, got in a car, drove 5 hours, got out of the car in a tracksuit, worked with the kids, got back in the car, and drove back to Dallas, something I have never forgotten. He is Dario Sala. He is the assistant coach for Atlanta United under Tata Martino. He joins us now. Dario, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And yes, of course, I remember at the time that we do the clinic. Hopefully we can do it again. And if I have to fly from Atlanta, we'll do. You know that.
This time we're going to pay for you to come in, though. This time we'll pay for you. All right, well, we'll work on that. But right now, Atlanta United's got big things going on. This is a club that really has redefined a lot of levels of Major League Soccer. And after you've played at FC Dallas, I mean, even for you, this has to be something incredible that you're experiencing both on and off the field with this type of attention in this market.
Oh, it's incredible what I've been living the last two years and a half since we signed with Atlanta United, because we didn't know what to expect. Actually, when we came with Tata to visit the stadium, it was in the middle of construction. We went to see a training facility, how it's going to look like. And we were really uncertain about what we're living right now. It's just something that, been playing in MLS and for FC Dallas, a great organization. I remember those years, and we were growing in the soccer community, but what's going on in Atlanta is just amazing. It's just at the NFL level. The players are really involved with the community. They're pretty celebrities here, the players. And having attendance record every single game, or this year, I think we regular season was around 900,000 people watch our games. It's incredible, the support. It was incredible, the organization. And it was the right coaching to bring with Tata.
Dario Sala joining us now, the assistant coach of Atlanta United, was a great goalkeeper in his playing career. All right, so we talk about inspirational leaders. You have to be inspiring if you're a manager. Tell me what it is about Tata Martino that gets the most out of these players, and tell us about him as an inspirational leader, Dario.
Well, Tata is his reputation, of course, is well known around the world as a coach. What I can give you is a little more inside information in terms of how he is as a person. He makes everybody feel important. He's a very likable person, a great leader, a leader from the. Not from the criticism, no, you know, correcting mistakes on the field. He's just a thinker, you know. He likes to come back in the halftime, make some adjustment, keep the whole locker room calm. During the week, it's a person who is very well organized, coaching staff, is pretty demanding on the job, which is very competitive. All our coaching staff are extremely competitive. We want to win every single match. We want to win every single tournament that we're playing. And that keeps us that great motivation, and we translate that to the players. I think the player got the message, and that showed our performance, right?
Yeah, no question about it. Dario Sala joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. And you've also told me, Dario, that Tata Martino is very inclusive to you guys as a staff. You know, you told me you guys barbecue, you talk about the game constantly. Can you take us into that a little bit?
Yeah, and basically two nights before the game, we normally eat our barbecue, Argentinian barbecue. We get together. We all live together pretty much in the same apartment complex. It's like a little community, little Argentinian community there. But he's very inclusive in every aspect, not only watching games all together, but also if you have an idea, a drill, any input that you can bring to the table, he's always open to listen. And I think it's a sign of a great leadership.
Dario Sala joining us here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Now, look, you guys, next weekend is a huge weekend. It's decision day. You guys are tied on points with Toronto FC. If you were to win that game, you'll set a record for the most points ever. New York can't catch you. Yet New York is only 1 point behind you. It's an unbelievable finish. You have to go to Toronto FC. And I'm thinking about this, and you've also got real challenges right now because swirling around you as a big club with players that are desirable, with a manager that's desirable, there are these rumors with Tata Martino, some people trying to confirm him, going to Mexico, Miguel Almiron moving on to Europe. How is this all being managed? Because this is what happens to big clubs, I guess, around the world, isn't it?
It is a tough time. Even though that we are number one, we depend, or we can manage our own destiny winning in Toronto and also achieve the goals that we tried to achieve from the very beginning since we signed 2 years ago. It is a tough time because the contract of some of the players, the, looking into the future, you know that it's not easy to keep some of the best players in the team, and it's a challenge for every single team. What really matters is how the team policy was. You know, everyone is from the silence. We just listen rumors. We just listen to news. We read. But within the group of coaching staff, it's like we directly don't talk about it. We just go step by step. Nobody want to bring it up. Like, oh, I don't even want to bring it up. Like, hey, what Tata, what you going to be doing? Let me know. I need to make some plans. But it's like we're so focused in the next few weeks. And because it's a work of 24 months. And I think the direction of all the attention is all about how we get the number one there, how we get into the playoffs. Well, thank God we achieve also we clinched the CONCACAF championship spot last game. It's another goal that we were trying to achieve from the very beginning. But yeah, it's like responding to your question, we hear and we read all the news. But within the group of the coaching staff, we basically don't talk about it.
Dario, but is this kind of the new MLS now? I mean, you guys have raised the bar. Atlanta United has raised the bar with a lot of things that you're doing. And I even saw it in your game day operations. And for instance, your players, this is what I'm told, your players come up to the stadium at home. They park in a specific area, they get bussed over, and then they walk through the fans to go into the stadium in suit and tie. That's what I saw yesterday. That's just a stroke of brilliance. That's a stroke of brilliance because I'm sitting here going, boy, whoever implemented this is incredibly smart because the players are walking into the locker room, looking into the eyes of these fans that have come there for them, and then the fans get the personal touch even though there's going to be 50, 60, 70,000 people there.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Glenn. It's a great idea, and I think it comes through every single idea that comes from the club. It's just brilliant from the marketing department. You know the front office people. I think they are true heroes in this town because what they have done. We came here and already 25,000 people already bought their season ticket. So, and they didn't have a coach, they didn't have Almiron, they didn't have the players. They didn't even have a jersey. And I think that's part of the front office, and we got to give them credit. It's just amazing what they have done. Led by Darren Neils. I think he brought some great ideas and is doing a great job. Having an ownership like Arthur Blank, it helps because he's a hometown hero and with a reason because he really, really loved the community of Atlanta. And the community of Atlanta loved him back. So whatever he touched or whatever he's involved, I think the community is backing his actions.
Yeah, that's great insight there. All right, so playing style. This is obviously a big part of the success, too. There's all these factors that go into this. It is a pressing game. It is attractive. It is about scoring goals, and it doesn't change on the road. So take us into this playing style of Atlanta United and the confidence that you guys have on the road. You've won 10 road games, 32 points on the road. That is remarkable to me. And you have kind of passed on to me that a lot of that is about attitude as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Glenn, because that was the toughest habit that we tried to implement within the roster. And it's really tough because I play MLS as well. And you know that when you fly 5 hours to LA from Dallas, it's like in the air that, oh, get a good result here, or you fly to Boston or even Houston or different aspects of the field that everybody considers, the flying, the if you're tired, if the weather, if it's going to be too cold, if it's going to be artificial dark. Basically, everybody goes around the excuses that you need to have if you don't get the 3 points. And becoming a culture, that's becoming a culture, or became a culture at the time. I think that was the toughest habit that we implemented within the team. Because for us, there is no weather, there is no artificial turf, there is no natural grass, there is no high, 1 mile high altitude, there is nothing. If you really believe that you can dominate the game in any field with your playing style, if you know what you're doing, if you keep possession of the ball, if you make the other team tired, if running behind the ball, running, chasing the ball, If you know that you can dominate the game against any opponent, it becomes a habit, and you do it away, you do it at home, and I think that was the greatest achievement that we have. I think last year when we started to see those symptoms that you don't win or you don't play away like you play at home, we need to take a hand on it. We need to do something, and I think this year showed that we were heading the right direction, right?
Dario, is it true that, you know, when we look at Jeff Lorenowitz or we look at Michael Parkhurst, and I've had conversations with Michael, that his game has had to change as a center back based on this playing style of Atlanta United, a higher line, he's in more one-on-one situations. He's not a young guy anymore, and he's handled it incredible, and so is Lorenowitz. Is it fair to say that Tata Martino has helped stretch and expand their game over the age of 30 now into other areas that maybe they weren't into before?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know that coaching is everything. In the United States, normally, you and I lived through soccer for the last 20 years here, or last 15 for me. And we see the changes, and when Beckham came, and the facilities get better, the crowd gets better, the people understand a little bit more of soccer. But something that didn't change was the coaching. The coaching was the same style, and it didn't progress as the league, or it didn't evolve as the league evolved. And that was not the best interest of the player, not for the best didn't benefit the player. Having great coaching staff and the great coach is the one who is going to make that team or individual players evolve. And this is what they really want for their career. They want to come to a team and where they learn to play soccer again sometimes. If you ask last year some players in interview, because we read everything what they said, it was like, I'm 32 and I'm learning soccer all over again. And that's fantastic because that dynamic keep motivating players over 30 to extend their career. And also they extend their soccer brain. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes. Yeah, remarkable. I'm looking at your career in front of me. Played in some big clubs. Belgrano, River Plate, Deportivo Cali. You played 66 times there. Newell's Old Boys. You played at the same club as Tata Martino. This is a remarkable career you had. You appeared over 400 times, Dario. That's a lot of games. How's the body at 43?
Well, it's not good. To be honest.
It's not good?
I didn't run a mile in the last 6-7 years. I tried to take care of the diet, but not so much because I like barbecue a lot.
I like your honesty, though. I love your honesty.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. I always tease my wife. I say, well, baby, I'm over 40. I know you. I don't look like it when I was a player, but you know what? I love you more than ever. It's like you becoming more caring.
Yes.
Absolutely. But, yeah, it was a great career. It was unbelievable ride. Ended in FC Dallas, my club in MLS, for 5 years. I love the people there. And someday I want to come back. And the best way to say thank you is to take that team to championship or great achievement. It's something that I would love to do. But my way to say thank you is to the entire MLS because I have an American wife, American kids, and I wanna keep being part of this soccer growing movement in America. I consider myself a part when I was a player, when I was a general manager in a team in second division. I was a co-founder of Armada in Jacksonville. I went through agent. Trying to bring some American players to the league. And now as assistant coach and coming back to MLS, it's been fantastic. So the only thing I want to do in life, at least the professional life, is to be a coach, be a great leader, and to give a leave a legacy and change soccer structure as we did in Atlanta United the last 2 years.
No, and there's no doubt. You want to be a Major League Soccer head coach one day. And by the way, Dario appeared 100 times for FC Dallas. I would think with your background, your history, boy, you have seen the game managed and coached many ways. You're working side by side with just a fantastic manager. And with all your talents and all your experiences, my assumption is you want to be an MLS coach one day or coach somewhere. Head coach.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And hopefully it's in the United States. You know, it's I don't want to leave the country. I want to be able to keep living in this country and keep living through soccer because this is my life, my passion. But like you said, having a mentor like Tata, all the coaching staff, Jorge Taylor, Manuel Alfaro, Rodolfo Paladini, and Damian Silvero, they are world-class coaching staff. I've learned a lot, but hopefully it pay off. You know, hopefully it pay off. Hopefully I can be a great head coach and make Tata and all the coaching staff proud.
Dario, thank you so much. Best of luck in Toronto. Just really love the insight tonight. I'm sure my listeners love this. And let's get you on real soon. I'd love to get you back on in 2 weeks or so, 2-3 weeks, if you're available.
Hopefully when we go through the playoff, absolutely, because you're going to bring – I'm going to tell Tata that you're bringing so much luck to our team. So we're gonna try to have Tata an interview as well.
That's awesome. Thank you, Dario. We much appreciate it.
You got it. You got it, Glenn. Thank you so much. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Dario Sala. Amazing career he's had, but also – that story I told you before the interview where he drives down from Dallas 5 hours, tracksuit on, gets out of the car, coaches kids for 2.5 hours, jumps back in the car. Incredible. But he is a part of everything that's going on down at Atlanta United right now. So our thanks to Dario for coming on the show here tonight. Quick word here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They're our presenting second hour sponsor here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. They're personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Now, John and his firm are bilingual. Car accidents, motorcycle, nobody wants to get in them. industrial construction. You may work in a plant or a refinery. You might drive an 18-wheeler. That will work. When those things happen and you get in an accident, you need support. And you need somebody that's going to work 24/7 nights and weekends for you. Get the representation you need. Daspit Law Firm, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Also, Kings Court, that's the place to be in Edo. It's right near the Dynamo Stadium at BBVA Compass, 903 Hutchins. Kings Court, 13 monitors for all your soccer-watching desires. Bayou City Blues, the Chelsea Supporters Group is down there. Houston Red Army, started by Tom Clare. They all go there. You got El Batallon there for Dynamo games. Rooftop deck is spectacular. Great view of the stadium. It's Kings Court, British and Indian pub-style cuisine. Get down there, say hello to Jay, kingscourthouston.com. And they got great selections of cocktails, great prices. And seriously, if you just go there for the Indian food, you are going there simply as someone who wants to have wonderful Indian cuisine. The Indian food is awesome. It is King's Court. We'll take a Bud Light break.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. The place to be in Edo is Kings Court, 903 Hutchins, in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. Kings Court, 13 monitors for all your soccer-watching desires, covering leagues from around the world. British and Indian pub-style cuisine, great food, staff. Go in, say hello to Jay. It's kingscourthouston.com. With that, we bring on an old Houston friend and a guy that continues to tear it up in the world of radio. Carl Dukes was here in Houston, literally right at this station here. He's at 92.9, the game in Atlanta. He's at the Atlanta Falcons pregame party, but we're going to talk about Atlanta United with Carl. Carl, how are you?
How you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for doing this. I really want your perspective, and I'm going to just kind of lob you a softball here in the beginning. Just talk to us about how important Atlanta United is on the sports landscape in Atlanta, the city.
Glenn, it is the most passionate fan base here in Atlanta, and it's hard to believe that because the Braves brought a championship to the city in the mid-90s, and obviously the Falcons have gone to a Super Bowl. But Atlanta United has done something that no other team has really been able to do in this city, and that is unite people from all different parts of the country. They started this organization a few years ago, and everybody got in from the ground floor. And you know how soccer has grown, and I just have to tell you, I've never been around a passionate fan base like Atlanta United, simply because I was there in Houston when the Houston Dynamo started, and they have a great organization, but this has been on a different level. When you're getting 53,000 people at your game, your home games on average, it just sets a different tone. So I would tell you that it's probably second to the Atlanta Falcons in the city as far as interest level right now, especially with the playoffs looming, but the United have captivated the city like no other team right now.
Carl, I got my first taste of an Atlanta United game. I was privileged and fortunate enough to do the national broadcast on ESPN yesterday, the 2-1 win over Chicago. I'm still blown away from it. And what I noticed at the stadium was what fans are put first. And you're right. This fan base is unique in so many different ways. But to me, the fan is put first. Would you concur with that?
I would. And I think Arthur Blank, who owns the Atlanta Falcons, his approach to this was a little bit different. He went out and hired soccer guys. Carlos Bocanegra is our technical director. Darren Eales is a longtime world-renowned soccer mind that you probably know well and people around the world know. But he brought those guys in and said, I want you to run this. And Arthur Blank stepped out of the way, and he let soccer people run it. So they built a team that, as you've seen, is exciting to watch. But more importantly, they're young, they're fast. I just think people bought into the style of play. And that also helps when you're trying to build a fan base. And so with that, our owner, Arthur Blank, also said, listen, we're not going to have PSLs like at the NFL. We're going to let the average fan be able to afford to come to these games and have fun. And that's what you see. So, you know, Glenn, these supporter groups you saw yesterday, Terminus, whether it's, you know, we've got probably five or six different supporter groups. They've been this way as far as marketing and supporting the team for the last 4 or 5 years prior to Atlanta getting a team. So when it actually happened, the buzz was there, and that has carried over into not only the season, but also across the country. You're seeing Atlanta United stuff everywhere.
He's Carl Dukes. You remember him from Houston. Put up your Dukes. 92-9, the game in Atlanta. Great guy. I would consider you a friend, even though you and I didn't hang out a lot, but we became close through radio. And I always appreciate what you do. We've talked during World Cup broadcasts as well on your show. I get there, front page of the paper, it's Atlanta United, it's mainstream, it's everywhere. Does the fact that they draw so well, is that what gets the mainstream behind you because they have to cover it when there's 50, 60, and 70,000 people? Or are there other reasons?
Well, I think it's twofold, Glenn. I think, one, the attendance certainly has got people's attention. And when you're drawing 53,000 people a game, it makes people, you know, stand up and want to pay attention. But the style of play, it's a style that has, you know, now we lead the league, the MLS, in goals scored. We have, I think, the MVP of the league and Joseph Martinez. I just think the style has helped grow the game here, but also the interest level. And I think also that most media here realized that if they ignored it, they were going to be left out. You and I both know that soccer has a young, you know, intelligent audience that follows the game. And I think that a lot of people are realizing now that this is an audience that has been somewhat, you know, neglected. And so if you didn't cover it, you were really cheating yourself. And it's something that, you know, we jumped on immediately from my experience there in Houston. And to your comments earlier, you know, Glenn is an amazing soccer mind. Of course, he played, but I got to give you credit. You really helped me understand and expand the game of soccer so that I could talk about it in a much broader way. And I appreciate that.
Well, I love what you just said about playing style because, you know, when Atlanta United's on TV or teams with great playing styles, that's must-see TV for me. And I think Atlanta United, obviously because of all the national games they get, it is must-see TV. If this was a team that was defending deep to play for a counterattack over and over at home, you know, these fans wouldn't buy into that. They take pride in the pressing style of play and the aggressiveness and the desire to get the goal, which is repeated on the road as well with the 10 road wins. So playing style is so important, and I love the fact that you pointed that out. Do others in mainstream media, you know, did they pick that out, how exciting the style of play is?
Yes, they do, and here's what's interesting. When, you know, we had a big kickoff party with Arthur Blank, the owner of the team, 3 years ago, and it was at a big club here in town, and I remember showing up, and there were 5,000 people in line to get in.
Unbelievable.
We didn't even have a team, and we didn't even know the name at that point. I think the name had just been announced. And I'm saying to myself, what is going on? They had 22,000 season ticket holders before they started playing. So I think with all of that, you know, forward motion, Glenn, there was a sense that this could be something big. But I don't think people really knew until after that first season. And I think, you know, people don't know this around the country, but because of the conflict here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which is where the Super Bowl is going to be held this year, is an outdoor venue. And people fell in love with the idea of going to watch these soccer matches outdoors. The fans here really love the idea of this team playing their initial home game outdoors.
You know what I'm excited about, Carl, for Atlanta is the fact that now after getting those 3 points against Chicago, you are going to have international competition. You are going to have foreign clubs now coming to play Atlanta United next year in the CONCACAF Champions League. I am so excited to see that happen there, as I'm excited to see it happen here with Houston, who also qualified for the CONCACAF Champions League. But this will be a whole new, differing experience for the Atlanta United fan.
It really will. And I think, you know, internationally, there's not a buzz already about what's going on here. I think there will be once they see us in the CONCACAF and how this fan base reacts and responds. I think it's an exciting time. I talked to Brad Guzan, our goalie, who obviously has played on the U.S. national team and been around. He's very excited about this opportunity. And, you know, he said, listen, this is why I came here. This is why I think a lot of guys who are veterans like Michael Parkhurst came here. It's because we wanted this opportunity, and it's going to be an exciting tournament.
Carl, listen, we love your insight. I want to get some more of it during the playoffs on this show. I love the fact that you are so pumped about soccer. You were always a positive guy, but little did we know you were going to be in such a huge soccer market one day. Carl Dukes, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Glenn Davis, my man, thank you. And Houston, vote him up.
Carl Dukes, you remember him well from Houston, doing a great job down in Atlanta. It just warms my heart to hear him so excited about the game of soccer and embracing it. And that's what we've never penetrated the mainstream down here, except in the early years when we were winning championships here. And it remains a real challenge here in Houston. And to hear Carl talking about playing style and naming players, phenomenal. And you know what? 70,000 people can't be wrong. That's what was there yesterday when I did the national broadcast on ESPN. By the way, that's top 20 in the world. Attendance, 53,000 a game at Atlanta United. That wraps it up on a great note here tonight. Reminder, we will be back on the air next week with Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Second hour brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. Thank you so much, Daspit Law Firm. Also, a big thank you to Bud Light. Listen, Bud Light has been such great sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 throughout my time here. A big thanks to Bud Light. It's all local. It's Bud Light. We appreciate AB Bud Light. Thank you very much for your proud sponsorship of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. For Victor Ariza and for Tyler Scott, that'll do it tonight. On behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.